The Bene Gesserit Sisterhood is a well-connected network, with eyes and ears in every level of government and responsibility. Someone in their organization will know the answer to almost any question that might be posed. But do not expect this knowledge to be free of cost, or the sisters to be altruistic. Chome Analysis of the Bene Gesserit, Report Number 7. While Duncan and Gurney searched guild records and transportation manifests from the subsidiary Ixion spaceports, Romber sent repeated requests to the technocrats, since their commercial connections extended across the Imperium. He even made a direct plea to Bola Gavati, although the council leader was less than sympathetic after all the accusations leveled against him. So far, none of the investigations had borne any fruit. Jessica, though, had a different set of resources, avenues that even a Lansrod nobleman did not possess. While Leto was on his way to Ix, she composed a message to her old teacher on Wallach 9, Reverend Mother Gaius Helen Mohiam. With all of the Sisterhood's observers across the Imperium, someone must have seen Paul or Bronso. Careful to expunge any hint of desperation from her message, Jessica outlined everything she knew about the boy's disappearance. She pointed out the very real possibility that the two might be hostages, pawns in some dangerous political game played by the Harkonnens against House Atreides, the Tleilaxu or the technocrats against House Vernius, or as yet unknown enemies. Paul was missing. That was all Jessica needed to know. A day later, Leto arrived on an express guild transport generally reserved for cargo, but he had paid an exorbitant amount for swift passage. When he stalked into the Grand Palais, he was filled with a simmering energy to do something immediately. Jessica embraced him, drawing comfort and also showing her strength. "We've already begun the search, Leto. Earl Romber has rallied all the resources of Ix." Leto's gray eyes held storm clouds. "Any ransom demand or threat?" Gurney said, "There is a strong possibility that the boys fled voluntarily." Duncan and Gurney bowed formally before the Duke. Duncan spoke first. "We failed you, my lord. We let the boys slip through our fingers."
"I am the one who failed," Romber said.
He plodded forward until he stood facing the Duke.
"You are my friend, Leto. You entrusted your son to me, and I let you down. I gave my word that I would keep Paul safe, and for my failure I am deeply sorry. In the end, I am responsible for the foolish things that Bronso does, if indeed he ran away because of the unwelcome things I told him about his parentage. You cannot forgive me. Nevertheless, I'm truly sorry. I let myself be distracted with other tragedies."
For a moment, Leto glared at Romber. Then he took a deep breath and looked at his friend with compassion.
"Paul isn't some weak-willed boy who can easily be talked into doing something foolish. No matter what Bronso may have done, my son makes his own decisions. But my situation has put him into danger," Romber said.
"Our situation. A long time ago, you and I found ourselves in the middle of the Ixion revolt that turned your family renegade. My father didn't blame yours for what happened then. I can't blame you now."
He reached out to clasp Romber's prosthetic hand in the traditional half-handshake.
"My God, Romber, your wife, your son. For all our sakes, we must not let this turn into a greater tragedy."
The Ixion leader looked as though he might break down.
"Leto, how do I deserve you as a friend?"
"By being the same kind of friend to me."